you and I left our troubles far behind. But I still have just one more question on my mind. For all my pals who live in the oceans and the seas, with friends like these, well, who needs enemies?
Convincing the Flyers GM to go along with the scheme was easy. Mostly because, by the end of the conversation, he was too busy laughing to raise any serious objections. "Penguins," he said, making only the barest effort to disguise his glee. "Penguins." Bettman was another story. He might have caused trouble, but Mario had almost a decade of dirt on the commissioner that he pointedly never used to his own advantage, and so on the rare occasions that Mario asked for favors, Bettman was inclined to be agreeable. Even with the approval from on high, though, there was one more obstacle standing in their way. And Mario wasn't optimistic. They had to break the news to the fans. "Who's gonna pay good money to watch birds shit on the ice?" Rutherford asked. It was late evening, and they were holding an emergency meeting in one of the conference rooms to sketch out media strategy. Mario was on his fifth cup of coffee, and too tired to think straight. "They don't shit on the ice," Johnston said, affronted. Once he'd recovered from the initial trauma, and Mario had to concede that it would be profoundly unsettling to walk into your team's locker room only to find the floor scattered with empty clothes and a flock of penguins staring up at you unblinking, he'd become one of the team's staunchest defenders. It helped that the penguins were generally agreeable and eager to please. Apart from the occasional squabbles between the younger players, bored because they were too small to do anything but stand imperiously on top of pucks, or line up along the crossbar and peep encouragingly down at Flower in the net, none of them caused any trouble. Look, people in Pittsburgh were still buying tickets in 1983, weren't they? They'll buy tickets now. And March of the Penguins made like $100 million, Jen said. Everyone loves cute penguins. We could put together an entire episode of In the Room with nothing but clips of Gino pushing pucks over to Sid, and I guarantee we'd have 10,000 views before lunch. There's basically no way this can go wrong. Mario thought that March of the Penguins had probably attracted a different demographic than the typical NHL team fanbase, but Jen's easy confidence was reassuring. "Besides," she added, "it's such a stupid story that no one will think we're making it up. Anything less believable, and they would say we did it on purpose. Now we need to organize a press conference and—"
"Holy shit," one of the guys from the front office yelped. He was staring down at his phone, which he'd been messing with throughout the meeting, while everyone around him studiously pretended not to notice. "Holy shit. Sorry, but I think you need to see this." He handed the phone over to Mario, who was sitting closest to him. Mario frowned, but obediently looked down at the small screen, which was showing the St. Louis Blues official Twitter account. The Blues were playing the Canucks tonight, weren't they? "Robert Bertuzzo just turned into a penguin," the most recent tweet read. Another one appeared seconds later. It was just a long string of question marks.
"Right. Of course.
I think we need to start contacting former players," Mario said, heaving a sigh. He was already wondering if a sixth cup of coffee would really be so bad, in the grand scheme of things. If his heart hadn't given out yet, it wasn't going to. Besides, he was probably going to be a penguin by the end of the week. He had to enjoy the little things while he could. At least that settled the question of the press conference. One of Jen's assistants took a picture of the team, most of them were snoozing in the penalty box, Sid with Beau tucked carefully beside him, and posted it to the team Twitter account. "At St. Louis Blues. You're not the only one with a hashtag penguin problem. Give us a call." They did. So did the Ducks, who had a small, fluffy, and profoundly confused Simon Dupre on their hands. By the next morning, the hashtag was trending. The front office released an official statement at noon. Ticket sales went through the roof. For the most part, the reporters asked predictable questions. How did this happen? Any word on how many players have been affected? Can you confirm that this isn't just an elaborate hoax to help you tank for McDavid? Johnston stuck to their pre-planned script throughout the onslaught. His composure only cracked when the guy from the Tribune Review said, "Are you worried that this is going to affect your chances of going into the playoffs? How will the team handle this on the ice?"
"Just to reiterate, in case it's not been made clear," Johnston said flatly, "the team is not currently in a position to play a regular game of hockey in the NHL. Our heaviest player weighs 30 pounds, and our lightest is slightly smaller than a puck. We've battled through a lot of adversity this season. Oli, who was sitting on the podium as a visual aid, bobbed his head in agreement. But this is, frankly, ridiculous. We'll be playing exhibition games for the foreseeable future. Once the press conference was over, Mario headed down to the locker room to talk to Sid. Or at least talk at Sid, while Sid presumably listened. Only to find the Tribune Review reporter standing outside the locker room door, crowded into the wall by at least a dozen furiously squawking penguins. Downey was pecking at him. Dino was throwing himself bodily at the reporter's legs in a flurry of feathers and rage. "Help!" the man begged, and Mario very carefully waded in to rescue him. "I'll handle it," he said, looking down. The players shuffled away reluctantly, Downey aiming one last peck at the reporter's kneecap. None of them went very far, except for Dino, who vanished back into the locker room.
"I swear, I didn't mean to," the reporter said, before Mario had a chance to ask what was going on. "I tripped, okay? I spend a lot of time here, and usually there aren't flocks of penguins roaming the halls."
There was one player, Mario realized with a sinking feeling, that he hadn't seen in the crowd attacking the reporter. "Please tell me," he said, terrifyingly gentle, "that you didn't step on Sidney Crosby."
The reporter quailed. It was more like a kick. I definitely didn't step on him. It just..."
Mario had never more seriously contemplated murder. Fortunately for the reporter, his first priority was checking on Sid, who was hiding in a corner of the locker room with Gino hovering protectively over him. Mario knelt down beside them. "I'll call a doctor," he said, reaching out gently. "Or a vet. Someone. Anything broken?" Sid made a small noise and shook his head. "We'll get you checked out anyway, just in case."
"God, Sid, you'll give me a heart attack yet. We should get you a kid's helmet and a set of pads."
Sid looked up with clear interest. Dino nudged Mario enthusiastically.
"Right," Mario said slowly. "You want gear? Before the Flyers get here tomorrow?" Another nudge. Well, that was clear enough. It might seem a little strange, a penguin sliding around the ice wearing a helmet, but if it helped keep Sid safe... Besides, it would look cute, and was therefore good for ticket sales. Jen would be proud.
You and I left our troubles far behind, but I still have just one more question on my